inventory so that it would be potentially become eligible for other financial incentives. As you know, it's not easy to move a historic structure, as we all know. I've heard there might be concerns about setting precedents with the system development waivers, but I think what this also points out is the need for more robust financial incentives for preserving cultural places in Oregon and the need for that state historic preservation tax credit we've talked about many times. I'm very happy to see that the city has placed that on the legislative agenda this year, so thank you very much for that. I think that that will support future projects like this and alleviate the need to make these special requests because there'll be much more robust incentives available to the next culturally significant place that needs to be preserved. So thank you very much. I really look forward to seeing how the story of the Mayo House is going to continue to expand and unfold.
Thank you.
My name is Maya Fodi. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
I'm the Vice Chair of the Portland Historic Landmark Commission, and I'm here to show support for this ordinance. I feel a little sheepish extolling the virtues of the historic house in light of recent testimony trying to convince you to pass this ordinance, but it's my job, so that's why I'm here. It would be a great benefit to the Elliott neighborhood and truly remarkable if this small house could be moved a third time and used to serve residents of the neighborhood. The building is unique because of its history in the neighborhood, also for its Victorian features, including an ornate offset curved front porch with detailed millwork, varied roof forms with fish-scale shingles, and delicate wood detailing of the barge boards. While some of the original features are missing or altered, the majority are still intact. For the city to assist with accommodating the move by altering zoning changes and waiving certain charges would make this third move more viable. The cultural resource is unique and is so important, and it is so important to retain this piece of architectural history of Elliott neighborhood so it can continue to enrich the streetscape and lives of the residents now and in the future. Finally, we'd like to emphasize, the Historic Landmark Commission would like to emphasize the importance of refining protections for locally designated resources to ensure they aren't demolished and that they don't have to come with a last-minute emergency council hearing to save them from demolition, and also the importance of making financial incentives available to offset the cost for rehabilitation.
Thank you.
The last two who signed up are Edith Gillis and Brad Baker.
I haven't seen you for so long. Hello.
Of course. Welcome back.
My name is Edith Gillis, and I want my son to come to me and say, "Mom, you were right," without waiting time in the grave. "You were right to have faith in truth, love, principle. Mom, you were right to sacrifice and work, to show up at city council, to demand and do your part for justice. I want my mother, long dead, to be able to see someone that's carried forth the work with empathy for doing what would seem the impossible to bring about justice. When I was 18, my mother was killed with the same attitude where uncounted, we don't even know how many hundreds, we don't know how many people, Modocs and Klamaths were killed at the same location, the same exact way she was killed, with the saying, the only good engine's a dead engine. I want us to make this a precedent. I want us to make this a precedent that we restore the best of our heritage, our hope, our promise of justice, of well-made homes, of density, of community, of democracy. I want us to have this be a precedent for First Nation peoples, people of color, and I want you to adjust the map, the zoning, waive the fees, and I want us to get some better tax income from those folks who have been making money off of the redlining and injustice.
Thank you, Edith. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Brad Baker. I'm here on behalf of the Elliott Neighborhood Association. I'm the chair of the Land Use Committee. We want to offer our support of the project. We're 100% behind it. There's not much I can add that hasn't already been said. It's going to be a great benefit to the neighborhood. It's going to right wrongs that were done to Cleo and his family. And so we just, we're all behind it and would love to see it happen. So please support his proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Does that complete testimony, Carla?
That's all I've signed up.
All right. With that, are there any other questions from council? Did you want to see any other staff members? Let's start with the amendment that was on the table. If we could call the roll on the amendment, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
All right. The amendment's adopted. Now to the main motion as amended. Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Thank you to the Davis family for coming today. Like the Historic Landmarks Commissioner mentioned, I thought I was just coming to a discussion about a historic house, and instead you have really honored us with your presence. I feel blessed that I was here to listen to your history, to understand more deeply and more personally the experiences that you have had and your family have had here in Portland. And I'm just so impressed that you dared to hope that things would be different this time, because for centuries things have not been different. And I think the city is has started to recognize that. And it's really tough for those who have been told no so many times and who have been dishonored so many times. So thank you also for changing the rules for everybody. We are going to do that, I'm sure, that you shouldn't have had to have come here on a Wednesday afternoon with your whole family, although I'm glad you did, in order to get something that we all agree is the right thing to do. And so I would like you to know that I think you will have changed the rules for everybody, and I appreciate your willingness to do that. I am mindful that the reason this house needs to be moved is because the site is going to be redeveloped, and that's what happened to your grandmother's house, the blight that was going to be this great new place that the council thought was going to make things better. And so later this year, we're going to be looking at ways to add more housing in Portland, and I will be remembering that we need to also be careful not to encourage demolition of old homes, affordable homes, homes in general. And thank you for that. Children, thank you so much for being so well-behaved and quiet and sitting still. And you're just a wonderful group of people. And I want you to hear what I'm saying in terms of it's up to the next generation to fix the mistakes of the previous one. And at some when you're even now, but as you grow up, you will be called upon to fix climate change and all of the other things that my generation and the generations before have not done as well as we have made a mess of. And so I feel really honored that I get to help fix the appalling things that have happened here in Portland, not only in this, but in the other efforts that the city is working on. And so it's really wonderful that you came and you're participating and you are part of history now, even though you're such tender age. Thank you to Nan Stark for reaching out to the neighborhood in the first place and for knowing your neighborhood that you're assigned to. To Brandon Spencer Hartle, Matt Wickstrom, and Joe Zender for being the white allies who said yes, and that yes, we're going to help you, we're going to help get this done. Thank you to Cynthia Castro on my staff. I'm really honored to vote aye.
Fish.
I had the same impression that Commissioner Fritz had when she started her remarks, that the briefing memo I got talked about zoning maps and comprehensive plan maps and had lots of gobbledygook and then an SDC waiver, and you get lost in the acronyms and all the legalisms. And yet what we've had today is a hearing when today's hearing has been about Portland's history, not so much its zoning code. And so I want to thank the family that took the time to come out and share the story with us. First to Mr. Davis Sr., who said he was 78 years old. Well, my grandfather lived to 102, so in my family you'd be considered middle-aged. You're not going anywhere, sir. Just hang in there. You know, you're at the younger end.
I'm
I'm sorry that my wife Patricia couldn't be here. Patty's a historian and the reason that we live in Portland. She's the first woman on her mother's side of the family to go to high school. And she got a job teaching history at Portland State. And the first big book that she worked on was former Senator Avell Gordley's history. And Avell Gordley wrote her book, and it says Patricia Schechter and Avell Gordley, and they wrote it together. And it was really an oral history, but they ended up sort of converting the oral history into the story. And there's so much of Avell's history and story that I could hear echoing in this chambers as you, Cleo, and your wife and others were telling your story. You know, it's very rare that we get to right a wrong within a generation. Now, I'm the longest serving member of this council, and I've served here for 10 years. But if I do the math, really the singular event that triggered all this, that brings us to this day, happened 34 years ago. And I don't remember who was sitting here, but it was a different council.
37 years ago.
Pardon me?
37.
And I don't remember who was, I don't know offhand, you know, who was sitting here. But regardless, we have a chance to right a wrong within one generation. And we are a new council with a colleague that's made history with her election. One other comment. The $50,000 bond that was a requirement that you couldn't meet and that ended up being part of the narrative. I want you to know that when we engage small contractors in Inner Northeast, predominantly minority-owned contractors, what we to this day hear is that access to capital is the single biggest impediment to wealth creation among small contractors, but that the requirement of a bond on projects is beyond the reach of a lot of emerging entrepreneurs, people of color. So here we are 37 years later, and we're still talking about a bond requirement, which has a nice neutral flavor, right? Sounds like a nice legal requirement. Who could object? Well, the people that could object to it are people that can't afford the bond. So how are you making an opportunity available to someone if you set a requirement that they can't meet? And what's the city's role in helping to fund those bonds or helping to make a financial accommodation? There are good days and bad days in this job. I still mostly go home and tell my wife I'm surprised I get paid to do this work. But there are days when I feel like this chamber is elevated, and I feel like something has happened that's beyond the mundane that we deal with as a council. And I think today is one of those days, and I am, as Commissioner Fritz noted, I'm very pleased that there were so many young people here to witness this, because it's important that they have hope. We talked about faith and luck, but hope is so important. You got to have hope.
Correct.
And these young people are here today to see a system that maybe they've heard in their family didn't work very well one day, right or wrong. And I'm pleased to add my vote to right that wrong and to support this ordinance. And I proudly vote aye.
Hardesty.
Thank you. I want to start off by thanking you for the history lesson. When I moved to Portland January 1st, 1990, I would scratch my head sometime and go, what's this about, right? Because there was nobody calling you names to your face. There was no one doing anything directly to you as an individual. But it was very clear that we are still living our white supremacist legacy in Oregon. Over and over and over again, when development happens, African Americans are displaced. It's called progress, is what they tell us it is. When 10,000 African American homeowners were displaced out of Inner Northeast Portland between 2000 and 2010, no one declared a housing emergency then. So I am so thrilled to have this front row here of these young, beautiful, I hope all girls, because I think I'm seeing all girls, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to apologize if there was a boy over there. Okay, it's just okay. I want them to look up at this podium and know that in 20 years you could be sitting right here. It took 167 years to make that happen, but let's not wait another 167 years before the next African American woman is sitting in this seat. I want to say to your family, I am sorry for how you were treated by your city when you were trying to make an investment in your city. And unfortunately, your story I've heard over and over and over again in the almost 30 years I've lived here. It wasn't right then. It isn't right today. And I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Davis Sr., you didn't need your rabbit foot today. You came with the truth. And some days the truth wins out. I want to say to Junior, I felt your passion. I absolutely understand every word that you said and why you said it. And I thank you for it. I absolutely vote aye.
You Daly?
I want to thank the Davis family, first and foremost, for being here today, for your willingness to come back to City Hall, which I know took some fortitude, and to share your story. You have every right to be angry, to be skeptical of us, and to seek redress, and to be here without feeling it's a privilege or a pleasure. I can see how it would not feel that way, considering your history. Although none of us were here on this dais in 1984, nevertheless, we have a responsibility to bear witness to your testimony and truth-telling, and we have a responsibility to redress past wrongs. It's not enough to admit wrongdoing or apologize. We have to make amends, and I believe that this is a small gesture in that direction. It is a pleasure and a privilege to serve on this council and to serve this community at a time when we have a growing awareness of past wrongs and a willingness on this council to pursue remedy to those wrongs. I would be remiss in my duty as your friendly local arts commissioner if I didn't mention that Cleo Davis and Talton Davis are longtime residents of Albina District, as we heard, but they also are renowned artists, and they're the team behind the historic Black Williams Project. I want to invite everyone downstairs to view their installation, Blightsploitation, I like the name, which was conceived and created by the 2018-19 Archives Artist in Residence program, or through it, and is based on their research in the City of Portland Archives and Records Center. The focus of their residency is to explore ideas of civic engagement and recurrent themes of civil rights, housing, racial discrimination, and public projects as geared towards Portland's Black community. It is on display on the first floor. I'm not sure how long it will be there, so please visit today if you're able. Finally, this is an exciting moment. It's a win for historic preservation. It's a win for the local community who won't lose this beautiful building. It's a win for the city, and it's a win for the Davis family. So I hope y'all are going to celebrate somehow tonight. Hopefully three times is a charm. And this house has found its final resting place. And I'm so excited to see it in its new home, to see its new purpose and its service to the Black community. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Sometimes it doesn't pay to go last. This is one of those times. I really can't add anything to what my colleague said, except I have to add my voice to Commissioner Hardesty and apologize on behalf of the city to the way your family was treated. It was wrong. It was an injustice. It was racist. It was mean-spirited. And Cleo, I actually appreciate the fact that you sort of did the net present value of the lost opportunity to your family. I think you said it was about $2.5 million. And that's a story that is repeated over and over and over again. And in addition to the injustice and the deception and the racism that went into that kind of displacement, which, by the way, was sanctioned by our city's leaders, both in the public and in the private sector, there were true economic prosperity costs, and there were true wealth generation costs that manifest themselves to this day. And that's the important lesson for me that we have to remember. This isn't something where we can say, oh, well, you know, it's 2019. We don't do that anymore. You know, this problem doesn't exist anymore. That was back then, back in the day, decades ago. Well, here's the reality. The reality is, from an economic perspective, what happened decades ago has an impact on the generational wealth of African Americans today in this community. And that, in turn, impacts opportunities around prosperity, job development, education, even health outcomes. It all comes back in full circle. So you were right to be here and to call it out and speak, as Commissioner Hardesty said, speak truth to power. So you have my apology. It's not worth much. Actions are worth a lot more. I do not believe that through this action we can actually make up for what happened in the past. I don't actually personally believe that, so I'm not going to say it. But I do believe we can pay it forward. I do believe that through our actions and through our leadership and through our commitment, we can move in a different direction. And you've provided a sort of the perfect symbolic template to do that by having three generations of the family here, having the kids here to be part of this. And at the end of the day, I'm going to remember this as one of the most positive things I have personally had the opportunity to participate in as a member of this city council in over 2 years. I see this as hugely important and hugely positive. And Mr. Davis Sr., I don't know how many times I'm going to go back and listen to your testimony, but it is many. You gave us a lot to build from, and I'm appreciative of that. I always love it when I come to council, and I think I'm going to, yeah, I'll just confess this. It's not always thrilling. A lot of the stuff we do here is really boilerplate. It's down in the weeds. I agree with my colleagues who said they
thought. And I thought I'd talk to you about mumbling under your breath.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, we've, you know. On paper, this looked like it was going to be another one of those hearings, right, colleagues? Another one of those hearings. But we talked about some really lofty issues here. We heard about hope, which is truly important. We heard about justice, which is truly important. And the part that really hit home with me, Mr. Davis Sr., is the conversation about faith. And that's something I come back to personally a lot, because we are in a time where it is actually too easy to question one's faith and the way things are. And the way you reconnect with that faith or that sense of hope or that sense of optimism in the future is through attachment to the community. It's through being part of something and belonging to something larger. And what the Black community in Portland experienced was an intentional, systematic disconnection and dislocation that also has manifestations for today. But I see this societally as well. And you see people's confidence in institutions and even confidence maybe in self and belief that special spark of faith under siege. And you talked so lovingly about your mother and her experience here in this chamber. And it's so disappointing for me to hear those stories. I hear them a lot, unfortunately, but it's so disappointing for me to hear that story and to think she came here with you, a young man, all excited, and left ultimately very disappointed to the point where she felt the need to go to the hospital. So I am really quite pleased that we get to do something bigger here than just support the house move. And by the way, thank you to the Davises for Kyan and Cleo for taking the lead on trying to get this going. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Karen Carlson, Rick Michelson also for their hard work and the Bureau's great work. But isn't it ironic that at the end of the day, the most meaningful thing we're doing here today isn't moving a house or approving a zoning change. Mr. Davis, we're sending you to speak to your mom. Faith having been restored. I vote aye. Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll take a 5-minute recess.